Hey guys, my name is Kane and I love to talk about movies, or in today's case, TV. So let's get straight into today's show. Okay, so as you can probably tell, and which you will be able to tell from this podcast title, is that we're talking about why Stranger Things Season 3 is the best season of the show, in my opinion. But to get there, we need to look back at Season 1 and Season 2 of the hit Netflix show to see why it's evolved so well and why Season 3 is the greatest show, is the greatest season of the show that we've seen. Okay, so Season 1, what was good and what was bad about Season 1? Well, I'm gonna tell you, not much about Season 1 was bad at all. Season 1, for a long time, since Season 1 came out, was the best season of the show, even though it only had two seasons at the time. You know, it built off nostalgia and cliches of the 80s and that era as a whole, just to build, you know, like, just as a foundation for the show. And then after that, it's one of its biggest, you know, one of its biggest aspects, I guess you could call it, or one of the biggest parts of the show is the characters. And if you didn't have such great characters, then you wouldn't be interested in the show, no matter how good its plot was. You need characters to drive that plot. So what I thought was amazing is that, like I said earlier, they use cliches, and you have this character that you really, really hate for a good portion of this season. In fact, almost the entirety of Season 1. And that is Steve Harrington. He's such a cliche, you know, he's the really cliche douchebag that no one really likes. So cliche 80s guy. Like I've said, I don't know how many times I've said cliche in this, like, just segment. You know, I'm going to say cliche a lot because this show drives off of cliches and evolves those cliches. How many times have I said cliche and evolve in this podcast? I don't know. I'm insane like that. Anyway, you know, you hate him at the start of the season. He's the stereotypical douchebag. Let's say stereotypical. So why would you love seeing this guy on screen? And I know I could talk about all the other main characters because at this point, Steve isn't really a main character, is he? But I want to talk about him before I get into anyone else because I'd say that he's the most cliche in here, but there are other characters that are cliche, much like my favourite character that I'm going to get to very soon. But you like seeing him on screen because you know he's going to develop and you know that he's not going to stay like this the whole time, because if he's going to be influenced by his love interest Nancy, then he's going to change and be more like Nancy because he knows that she's not going to want to love him if he's the way that he is and he keeps being the way that he is. So midway through this season, you get this big plot point. So minor spoilers right now, where Steve breaks Jonathan's camera, okay? Because it was something that Jonathan did that was pretty perverted. But he breaks his camera and you hate seeing that because as much as you hate what Jonathan did and how wrong it was, you know that Steve didn't have to go to that length just to impress, well, try and impress Nancy, just to try and be the guy that he's trying to be, that he's putting himself out as, you know, this really cliche character. And it's around here where Nancy's annoyed at him, you know, that you start to slowly see his development. He moves away from that cliche guy who starts spreading a lot of horrible things about Nancy after, you know, the relationship is tense, it sort of goes on hold. And then he realises what of a douchebag he's been, what of a really cliche douchebag that he's been. See, I said cliche again, lol. What of a cliche person that he is. And he starts to develop, and that's great. I think that that's one of the best things about the show. I know it's not the best character development, because it is kind of predictable. You know that the douche is going to become a great guy. But at this point, you know, it's just good development to all happen in an 8-episode season. And with those 8 episodes only being ranging from like 43 minutes to like 58 minutes at max, I think it is. Something around that. I actually don't know myself, but I know. I don't think they break an hour at this point. So, you know, where you have 13, 16 episode TV shows, even like 23 episode TV shows that don't have that much development in, even though it is a cliche and it's quite easy to develop that, it's just developed really, really well. So that's like Steve. And here's another cliche that I just really love that develops but also stays the same throughout the 3 seasons, and that's Jim Hopper. Personally, he's my favourite character. You know, he's this really cliche detective. He's drunk, he's the chief of police, he's washed up, he's had like this traumatic event in his life, he's gone to Hawkins, you know, the town that Sirius is based in, and he's settled down, okay? He's settled down, he's a drunk, he's lazy, he doesn't care about what's going on. And then you have his fling's son going missing. I didn't put a spoiler warning there because, you know, like, that's, you know, what the whole show revolves around. Yeah, you have his fling, well, what was his fling at one point, Joyce, you know, her son goes missing. So he realises that he needs to get out there, he needs to actually give a care about what's going on. And he investigates, and the more he investigates, the more invested he becomes, you know, invested, investigate. You know, he becomes invested in this case. He wants to find out what's happened to Will Byers because, you know, he's connected to Joyce. He's had this history with her. You know, all of that out of the way, he's invested. And you start to see him care more. I know that's not major character development, but it is. Because he goes from a sleazy cop, which, yeah, he does kind of fall back to. He's always this drunk, or not drunk, but someone who doesn't care unless there's something going on that needs to be cared about, you know. He's that sort of character. So even though it's not major development, and he does sort of fall back to his ways in the future seasons, in this season, I guess, you know, all that happens. But that minor development of him actually caring, you know, I really like it. And it's very small. Like, I know I've said that a million times now. It's a very, very small development. But in a way, I still kind of love that they keep the cliches while also developing his character at the same time. Whereas with Steve, you know, he moves away from his cliche. Hopper, he is still kind of cliche, but the show works. Like, that's how the show works. They use cliches, sometimes they stick with them, sometimes they don't. Like with Steve, it just changes, okay? So that's the two characters that I feel like are most cliche and develop, even though Hopper really does only develop a little bit. But aside from the characters, because all the characters are great, okay, no matter how minor, they all have something that sticks out to you. You know, you have Mike, you know, Mike and the party, I guess, they're all sort of the same. I know they're not, but Mike, Dustin, you know, Lucas, you have Will at the start and very end. You know, the original four, they're just friends, okay? They all have their own little knacks. Like Dustin, you know, he has a disability, he can't speak properly, his teeth, you know, he starts his baby teeth, they won't grow properly. I'm pretty sure that's his disorder. I'm sorry if that's wrong. I don't even know if you class it as a disorder or illness, whatever. And then you have Mike, you know, Mike's this really determined guy who can be a little mardy at sometimes. That's kind of a big plot point, you know, it drives the group apart midway through the season, you know, more to that back half of the second third. And then you have Mike, you know, he's determined to find his best friend. He wants to know what's going on and he cares a lot more than the other two. Apart from Dustin, who, you know, he's still very caring, but Mike cares the most about Eleven. Now, Eleven is another great character in the show. You know, she's this girl. She has a very cloudy backstory. Like, when you first meet her, she has powers. You want to know what's happened with her. And that's where you get to the plot. Now, before I move on to that plot, I just want to keep talking about the characters a little bit. Even Mike's mum, Mrs. Wheeler, you know, she has that sort of quirk. She's fed up with her husband, you know, who's just this really sleazy guy, a little like Hopper, but going down a different path with, like, what Hopper could have become. He's sleazy, he doesn't care, he hasn't had this traumatic event in his life like Hopper, he just doesn't care, full stop. And, you know, there's, like, just small notices like that. And as you move into season 2, where there are more characters, same in season 3, you know, we still get more characters, just have those tiny little, like, these tiny little quirks that make them stick out. But anyway, moving on to the plot, I feel like this show has a plot that, I don't want to say cliche, because it's not, but it sort of is at the same time. Boy goes missing, try and find boy, you know, pretty simple, cliche, not cliche, but, you know, generic plot. But then you're having this story that comes in with, like, monsters and different dimensions, and how scientists have opened this portal, how a main character has opened this portal, but you don't know that until the very end of the season, or closing into the end of the season. I think that's great. And, you know, it's right my alley. I really like that sort of stuff. You know, you have this kind of espionage kind of thing. You know, like, you can't really trust anyone, especially at a certain point where Hopper goes to investigate and then something happens with Hopper. You know, he's paranoid. You know, they've drugged him. Everything. You don't trust Well, you do trust everyone, but you're on edge because you don't know who's listening, who's actually working with these scientists, these crazy mad scientists, and who isn't. So that's great, okay? You have these scientists there, they're sort of going around, they're talking to people in Hawkins, and they're sort of not twisting them, but they're being very sneaky and very subtle and very, like, yeah, sneaky and subtle, like I've said. Sort of very undercover, spying on the kids, trying to find out where this experiment has gone, you know, and trying not to give away too much of the plot, because it is kind of hard to talk about without that. But that's what makes season one great, you know, is that, and then there's the monster design, which for a fairly low-budget show at the time, from what I understand, you know, it's not low, but it didn't have the biggest of budgets at this time. I feel like they used the special effects pretty well, but I loved how when they know something's better without the special effects, they actually do it, like a van flip, which is a very cool scene, very awesome scene at this point in the show. You know, you will know that if you've seen it. They actually did that, and I feel like that's great. And that's another thing, the Duffer Brothers' direction to this, they direct every episode but 3 and 4 in this season, and I think they just that's just great. And I'm pretty sure they write 1, 2, 7, and 8 as well. And I feel like the Duffer Brother episodes are some of the best, like season 3, episodes 7 and 8, some of the best episodes of the show as a whole, written and directed by the Duffer Brothers. Now, they're just great. They add so much to the show. And then finally, there's music, which sort of fits in with the nostalgia. But the music in the show is great too. You know, just the soundtrack, the score as well. The score is phenomenal. You know, the music, like how creepy it can be, how, you know, like adrenaline fueled it can be. It's just great. And it has some great action too. You know, like I said, the van flip scene. You have scenes that are very short, but they have that nice subtle action in with Eleven's powers, you know, this science experiment. That's great, okay, and I think season one would have been the best season of the show. However, it can... The first, maybe, episode is quite slow. Maybe the second episode too. You know, not much happens, you know, you have this plot point where the boy goes missing, but you don't really get much from that. You know, you have these plots being introduced, but they're not... I know they're not developed, it's the first episode, but you do just get a taste of what plots are going to come. You don't really get anything else other than that in the first episode. Then the second episode, it starts to pick up a little bit, but it doesn't really pick up until episode 3, I'd say. So you do have that very slow start at the start. It's not very slow, but it is a slow, you know, introduction. So that's pretty much my only gripe with season one. Maybe, you know, I mean, off the top of my head, that's my only gripe. I'm sure if I went back and watched it again, there would be more, but that's all for that. So, season two, what do I think about season two? What's good, what's bad? There are a lot more wrong things in season two, in my opinion, than season one, because season two was very downhill. Wow, season two was a step back in some areas for the show. Now, I do just want to say that I really like the Eleven Hopper plot line for this season. You know, I think that's one of the strongest plot lines. But I gotta get the bad out of the way first, because there's a lot more bad than there is good, and I just want to get it out of the way, because the season's not horrible, okay? It's a very big step down from like a 10 out of 10 season 1, maybe 9.9 season 1. It's like a 6.5 out of 10 season 2, and that's quite a big step down when you think about it. The season's okay. Some parts of the season are good. But first of all, I really hate that they split up all the characters. It's like a Star Wars Empire Strikes Back done poorly. They separate all of our characters, you know, they're not together until the very end of the season in 2 Duffer Brothers episodes. Ooh, what's that, a trend in having good episodes? I believe it is. I'm sorry, that was a really lame attempt at linking back to my last segment. Yeah, you know, they separate the characters, they're alone, you know. Yet, I really also don't like the plot about Eleven's mother. I'm sorry, I know it's very important, but I really find it boring. And I also really find it boring, and, you know, I'm sure 95% of you listening who've seen the show will also find it boring, is the plot with Eight. I'm not going to say who Eight is, you know, because that might be considered a spoiler. But the plot with Eight and her episode, which I think is episode 7, The Lost Sister, just bad. I really hate it. I'm sure all of you can agree that episode 7 of season 2, the episode where Eleven leaves Hawkins. I know this isn't massive spoilers, where Eleven leaves Hawkins for a short amount of time, meets up with Eight, and they just have a really bad 45-minute episode that drags on and makes you feel like it's an hour and a half. It's just really bad. I don't like the plot. It's not interesting to me at all. I find it very boring. I know I've said that it's boring a lot, but it just is. There was no need for it. I get exploring the plotline with Eleven's mother. That makes total sense. I wasn't a massive fan of it, but it makes sense. But when you have this plot about Eleven's eight, let's say that without getting into too much spoiler territory, with eight, you know, it just doesn't need to be there. I mean, I get it. 11 is 11, so there's going to be 10 before that, but no. You don't need it. It functions perfectly well with a show that's fairly contained to Hawkins. That's all you need. It doesn't need to venture out of Hawkins at all. Apart from in season 3 where the villain isn't out, like the villain isn't from Hawkins, but they are in Hawkins. So, you know, it works. It doesn't need to venture too far outside of Hawkins. I get it if there's a major plot point that has to be in the show. It's completely fundamental. You can't have the show without it. Like, I'm assuming what's going to happen in season 4 after that cliffhanger post-credit scene. You know, it doesn't need to be too far out of Hawkins, okay? It just doesn't need it. And another thing that I really hate is that the Mind Flayer is an amazing villain, okay? I think the Mind Flayer, or the Smoke Monster, whatever you want to call it, the Shadow Monster, is a really, really great villain. I just think that there are certain plot lines that are quite predictable. Like, in the end of episode 6, I believe it is, you know, you have this big plot twist like, I'm sorry, but it made me do it. That's what I'm going to say. That was really predictable. Once you find out what happens with the Shadow Monster, or the Mind Flayer, whatever you want to call it, and Will, that connection, more on Will in a minute, why I love him and hate him at the same time in this season. You know, it's just predictable, in my opinion. You know, the link between Will and the Mind Flayer, or the Shadow Monster, I'm going to refer to it as the Mind Flayer, full stop now. But the connection between the two and what happens in like episode 3-4, you know, it becomes predictable about what some of the plot points could be, what will be, you know, what might be. You can predict it, okay? Personally, I don't know if any other people did. I find this really predictable. I predicted what, like, halfway through episode 6, where you get this big plan to take it down, and then it fails, and it's like, I'm sorry, it made me do it, it's a trap, you know? I found that really predictable, and it's not a good cliche like with the characters, it's just predictable, full stop. I really, really didn't like it. Even though it's a great cliffhanger, and it is really good, and it makes for one of the best, like, not action sequences, but like an action episode as a whole, I guess you could call it, or half of an episode that's action-packed. It's great, and it works very well for the story. I just find it predictable, and I'm sure there were other ways that they could have done that to make it less predictable. You know, personally, I'm not going to say that I'm the best writer ever of a TV show, and I'd be able to think of a better way, because I probably wouldn't be able to. I'm not on that level of the Duffer Brothers or Sean Levy, whatever, you know. I'm not on that level. But I'm going to say there must be better ways, or they could have been a different circumstance they were there. But, yeah, those are my main gripes. There are other ones, like how, you know, it's just, you have a new character brought in. They're great new characters, they're just not amazing. So I love that. It started to rain outside, so that's going to mess up the mic. I hope it doesn't. I'm sorry if it does. But, yeah. So they're my main gripes. There are plenty of others that I could rant on about, but I don't want to. I want to get to the good, because I said that these are going to be like 20, 25 minutes max, and I think it's already like 20 minutes in. So, yeah, that's great. No, that's not great, that's bad. But what's good about this season? Now, I've said that I didn't like Will, but in saying that, the performance, Noah Schnapp, I believe his name is, his performance as Will is phenomenal. I believe there's way too much of Will in this season, and it sidelines characters like Mike a lot. Mike goes from being this main character to this like secondary character that's barely in it for some part of the show, you know, for season 2 at least. You know, there's way too much Will, and it overshadows everyone, but he's very good. You know, Noah Schnapp brings an amazing performance. When certain things happen, when he's in pain, I believe that acting, especially for someone who's only 12, 11, that's amazing. I don't know any other child actors from the top of my head, other than maybe Millie Bobby Brown, who is, you know, 11, in this show, who'd be able to pull that off with so much ease. No, I think he does it perfectly. I know that a lot of it's makeup practical effects, but just his emotion, just by looking at him, you can tell that this just, it's good acting, okay? It's good acting all throughout. I don't think the season's as slow, apart from that episode that I was talking about earlier, The Lost Sister, episode 7. Apart from that, and the Eleven's mother plotline that, like I said, I really don't like, season's not slow at all. It starts us off straight away with this supernatural, would it be supernatural? This otherworldly threat being introduced right in the first episode. Like the Demogorgon was in season 1, so they brought that back. They brought back the intrigue right away. Unlike season 1, though, the intrigue, like, stays throughout the whole season. You know, there's still some level of mystery as to what the Mind Flayer is. Or the Shadow Monster, as it was referred to at the start. So at this point, you would refer to it as the Shadow Monster, because it isn't called the Mind Flayer until, like, the last episode. But at this point, this creepy Shadow Monster, it's introduced right at the start of the show. This storm in the Upside Down that's terrifying Will, it's introduced, okay? And that plotline, I think, is great. You know, the suspense, you're wondering what it is, why it's looming over Hawkins again, why it's brewing in the Upside Down, what is going on? And you have that. You have Hopper coming back, he's investigating something that seems very minor, a pumpkin patch with pumpkins rotting in it. But because of the show you're in, you know what's going to happen, so you're intrigued. And I feel like another great thing is that it builds upon the intrigue of season 1, even though there isn't a mystery, but all that intrigue is still there, and I think it's done very well. Like I said, I love the Mind Flayer. I think it's a lot better than the Demogorgon. And I believe the Mind Flayer continues to be a great villain in season 3, even though I would say that, you know, having a same scary villain twice isn't as scary. The twist with the Mind Flayer in season 3 keeps that fear, you know, you're scared of what it can do. You know what it can do when it's just shadow. And in season 3, it becomes a physical monster, you know, you're scared as to what it can do. But, yeah, like I said, that's great, that's all great. Joyce continues to be great. Winona Ryder, I didn't mention this last time, but she gives a great performance. So does David Harbour as Hopper. And you have these two new characters. Well, you do get Dustin's mum, but, you know, she's always been there, we just don't see her. We get these two new characters in Max and Billy, and they're great. I love the dynamic between the two. I think they have good chemistry, and the good chemistry is bad chemistry in, like, on screen. It's meant to be bad, but the way that they act together as a pair when they do have these family issues, I think it works great. So they have good chemistry that makes bad chemistry, but it's intentionally bad chemistry, as in, like, emotional chemistry. But on screen, they both together, they're great. Separate, they're great. Billy is this character that you really grow to despise on and to hate, and that's why he's so great in season 3. Even though I do have gripes with that, and I'll talk about that when I talk about season 3 in a sec. But yeah, there's all that, and I think it's great, okay? I think Max and Millie are great, Sadie Sink, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the guy who plays Billy, you know, it's all great. And then you have this character, Murray, who's introduced. He's great, he's a detective, private detective, he's a conspiracy theorist, you know. He's a great character, and he helps take down, you know, he helps Nancy and Jonathan with their plot for this season. And Nancy and Jonathan, that's another great on-screen chemistry that is just great all around. You know, they're a building friendship, you know, they're close friends, and something that you really want to happen, like, in terms of relationships that involve Steve, Nancy, and Jonathan, they happen, and it's so sweet. And then same goes for Mike and Eleven, their relationship grows in the end, where all the characters reunite again. I don't think that's classed as a spoiler. If it is, I will put a spoiler warning at the start. You know, it's all great, all the good aspects for the show are good, are very good. It's just that it's dragged down so much by those poor aspects I talked about, and there are more cons that I could have talked about. I just didn't want this to go on for so long. I'm pretty sure that I've already talked about season 2 longer than I'm going to end up talking about season 3 at this point. But, you know, it's a premiere episode. It's episode 1 of season 1. It deserves to be longer because I'm talking about something so amazing. But now for the, you know, the title character, season 3. Wow, what a phenomenal season. Okay, I've been rambling on for long enough for now. Let's finally get to season 3. I know that might sound a bit weird coming in from what we just had, but I've had to take a break because my throat is really sore after talking for like 23 minutes straight about season 1 and 2. I want to talk for at least as long as I did season 2, about season 3. Like I said, I think it's the best season of Stranger Things. Not by a long shot, but by, you know, it's good enough by half a point. I think it deserves more than 10 out of 10. I've heard people, like, nitpick it now about pacing and stuff, but I disagree with that. I really dig how the first half of the season is paced, the first 3 episodes of the season. Like, the pacing, I think, is fine. I disagree with the people nitpicking it, saying the pacing's horrible. I don't think it is. But, yeah. I know I said season 1 is, like, a 9.9, and I still think it is, but this deserves just to be knocked up to 10.5. I can only give it 10. I wish I could give it a 50 billion. But I'm giving it 10 because it's so good. You know, you feel so many emotions, especially in that last episode, you know. 2 very big emotional scenes in that. You know, it's great. And I feel like the special effects are bumped up so much in this season. There are more of it where there needs to be more of it in terms of the Upside Down, which isn't really in the season. But, like, with the monsters, you know, with special effects such as fireworks, especially fireworks in that last episode with the fight, which is great, and I love it. Battle of Starcourt, the last episode of Stranger Things 3, is the best episode by a long shot of the show. Great action, great emotion, you know. I could just rant on about that episode for 10 minutes, but I'm not, because I need to pace. You know, I need to have pace into my podcast, which is already ruined, because, let's face it, I said 20-minute max, and it's already 22 minutes long, so this is going to be at least half an hour. And that's insane, but I don't care, because it's Stranger Things, and I love Stranger Things. Let's get on to Season 3, because I'm writing on about irrelevant things right now. But, yeah, great about Season 3. I believe that David Harbour, as Hopper, starts off a bit, like, very off-character. I'll say that's my one of my big gripes with it, and I think that's pretty much my only gripe, apart from a couple of others, and it's a very minor one, is that Hopper is very off-character for the first 3 episodes. Then he gets back into character, and you just love Hopper again, you know, you love Hopper a lot throughout. I do, I think everyone does. If you don't, then leave the podcast now, because I don't like you. But, yeah, Hopper's off-character, so I'll talk about my gripes first, actually, now I think about it, the cons of the season. Hopper is off character at the start, I'll admit that, you know. And my final problem is things that involve the characters. Will is sidelined way too much in the season. I know they said there was too much of him in season 2, but now there's too little, okay? I know in season 1 there was a lack of Will, but that was the point. That was the driving point of the plot of season 1, you know, Will wasn't there. But in season 3, he's just there. He just wants to play D&D, bless him. I love his character. He just doesn't want to grow up because he's missed this week. This week of him being separated, you know, he just doesn't want to grow up. He doesn't want to miss that life anymore. Seems he had that week where he went missing, you know, he was trapped in another dimension. He doesn't want to lose his friends anymore. At least my view of it was that he doesn't want to lose his childhood because, you know, he thought that he'd lost it back in season 1, but he hasn't. You know, time's passed. Okay, and my third and final gripe, this is a minor gripe, because I'd say this is more of a mixed opinion. Billy is built up in season 2 as a very annoying, horrible, mean character that you despise of. And then, you know, he becomes the big bad for a portion of the season until, you know, our mind flayer is back in the game properly. You know, he becomes our big bad. And you have so much potential taking this evil monster in the mind flayer and then having it go into Billy and take him over. You could have such a horrible and despicable villain for the first half of the show, but you don't, and I just don't get why they would choose to not make him that evil. Yes, he's evil, and he does some pretty bad things for the Mind Flayer in this, but if you just took how evil his character was in the first place and then added the Mind Flayer, that'd be amazing. But That's just a mixed gripe, because I still think he's intimidating and he's pretty mean and horrible. I know mean is such a childish word to use, but he is. He's a very good villain in itself. I think he works better as a supporting villain, in my opinion. But that's it, because now I'm going to talk about why Season 3 is the best season of Stranger Things. First of all, the comedy is just ramped up to a 10, you know. Yeah, it was funny before, it was like more of a 7 though, you know, it wasn't focused on humour. Season 3 just ramps that up, it goes right up to a 10 in humour, and it focuses on comedy a lot more. But it works, you know. There's still some great scares, and there's still some great action sequences, but the comedy filled into it is great. I love how they take more of a focus on comedy. The music, once again, is great. I didn't say that about Season 2, I forgot, but music is great throughout all the show. You know, you have this mystery of the Russians. I know Russians is probably one of the most stereotypical parts that they could have taken for an 80s thing. Well, it's an 80s thing. In a way, it's a period piece, you know. It's about the 80s. So, I get it. They had to use Russians because, you know, Cold War and all that. You know, like, or just the conflict between America and Russia and, you know, all that. They would have gone Russia in some kind of way. You know, it's referenced in season 1 and 2. Now, the Russians, I'm not going to say they're a bad villain. I would have much rather had it totally focused on a, like, otherworldly villain. But no, they take it down. They have a human villain. And that's fine. I kind of love it. I grow to love it anyway. You know, you have these Russians. They're making very poor choices that involve the Upside Down. And they're very intimidating. You have this Russian assassin that very eerily imitates the Terminator. And that's great. You know, he's on the back of Joyce and Hopper and Alexei. God bless Alexei. Oh my god. He's great. He's this Russian side character who turns good and he just wants to live a normal life. And it's great. I love Alexei. Everyone loves Alexei. The internet loves Alexei. You know, you'll continue to love the characters that you loved before. You have Mike and Eleven. You have Dustin and Susie, which brings us a very heartwarming, very funny scene in the finale. You know, Neverending Story. I'm pretty sure that's become a challenge now as well because of Millie Bobby Brown, you know, basically making fun of the whole thing. That's great. Dustin and Susie, they get one actual scene together, and that's just great. It's one of the best scenes of the season. You know, best scenes of the show as a whole. It's comedy, but it also, it's kind of action at the same time because you have the Mind Flayer on everyone's back, and you just have Dustin and his girlfriend singing. That's great. That's the sort of comedy that I love. Now, on top of all that, you have Lucas and Max in a relationship now, and that's just very funny in general. Their relationship is very much based on them loving to hate each other, and that's great as well. Now, this is the reason that I actually love what some people are saying bad about the first half of the season, is that for the first half, apparently it's very slow, and it takes a while to pick up, but I disagree. You know, for the first three episodes, I guess you could say two if you want, but two or three episodes, the first three episodes, we'll stick with that, are very slow. You don't have much going on, but I disagree. It focuses on the characters, and that's great. Like I said in season one, the characters are the best thing about Stranger Things, in a way. And I feel like they focus on them more, and that benefits the season. It doesn't make it worse, it doesn't drag it down. Because, yeah, it takes away from what could have been, you know, intrigue and threats that could be threatening the kids, but you still have that sliced in. It's like, think of it as, I don't know, a piece of food, a platter, okay? You need something to kick it, but it's also a relaxed meal, okay? So, it's a salad. Say, the first half of season 3 is a salad. This is a very bad eulogy, but I'm sticking with it. I've started, I'm not going to finish it. It's a salad. And a salad is a very calm meal, you know? But you need to spice it up, and I feel like that's what it does well. It has that tiny bit of dressing and pepper and salt sprinkled into your salad. Just give it a kick, okay? It's amazing played out without that, but they still add in the kick, and that's what happens in season 3 of Stranger Things. It's very laid back first three episodes, you know, not much happens, but something still happens. You still have that little seasoning, that little paranormal, supernatural, otherworldly, interdimensional threat sprinkled in, but only sprinkled in. It doesn't overpower. And you still have the characters. The characters are great. You have them doing things that kids in the 80s would do. And that's great. I disagree when people say it's slow. I disagree. I watched 7 episodes of this season in a row. And I wasn't bored for any of them. Even the first three that are reportedly bad and slow. And then you get Robin as a new character. I believe she's the first LGBTQ, remember, that was the word I was looking for, of Stranger Things, and I think she's great. Like I said, they build upon cliches in the show, and what did they do? They did that. They had a very big cliche of like, oh, Steve and Robin, they both work at the same place, they have amazing on-screen chemistry, amazing in-show chemistry, you think they're going to end up together, and then, minor spoiler here, Robin is a lesbian, and it's fine, it's played off very subtly, but you know it, and it's in a great emotional slowed back scene, like laid back scene, slowed down, taken away from all the action, and it's fine. It's just a conversation between Steve and Robin. She comes out to him, it's fine, and it's a very good scene in my opinion. I love it. And yeah, And then you have the return of characters like Keith, the arcade guy from season 2, in the prologue of this season. And the prologue of this season just builds upon your emotion from the last episode of the season. Makes you cry even more, you know. Just that epilogue is great in itself, you know. It'll make you cry. You might have finished crying, and then you'll just cry again at the epilogue. But yeah, like I said, great action. Some of the best action, actually. You know, Hopper takes this Magnum PI kind of route. You know, he's this cop, and he's going off the rails. He's sort of bending the law. He's stealing cars. He's transporting Russians. He's learning Russian. He's infiltrating a Russian base. It just goes very wacky, but still feels very believable at the same time, and it's great. And that's all brought to life by David Harbour being excellent. David Harbour being excellent, and then you have the return of Murray. He's great again in this season. You know, I think it's all great, and I feel like this season is the best by far because of everything I've said and more. There's so much I could go on about. That last episode, an hour and 20 minutes, I think it is, or like an hour and 17, something like that. It doesn't feel that long. It genuinely feels like another 40-minute episode. It doesn't drag. It's just great, you know. You love it. You will love this season more than any other season, okay? I can't express more than I already have about how great this season is. I've already seen this season 3 times. It's been out for, like, 3 weeks. I've watched it myself. I watched it with my friend. Then I watched it with my family. Then I watched the last episode, like, 4 or 5 times now. And I've not even finished it with my family yet. But I've still watched it 4 or 5 times, that last episode, because I think it's so great. It's the best episode of the show. Yeah, just watch Stranger Things if you haven't already. I've tried not to spoil it in case any of you haven't. Just watch it. Please, please, please go and watch it. You know, the show, Netflix, just needs more shows like this that build upon characters. They just need it. They build upon characters and they build upon nostalgia expertly. Tell Netflix more of this, less of the bad romance films. Not all of them are bad. I just want to say that. I don't have anything against Netflix romance films. A couple of them are really good. It's just that there are a few that are really cheesy and they go over the top. Tell Netflix to make more films like this. Okay, more shows, just anything like this. Make sure Netflix knows that, and I'm pretty sure that they do. You know, it's had 3 seasons, it's starting filming its 4th this Christmas, October time, whenever. You know, people are coming back, it's going to be great, you're going to love it. You will love this season, you will love the whole show as a whole. You might even love season 2. You know, I know when I first watched it, I enjoyed it a hell of a lot. You know, just watch it, please. I know I've said that for the past 2 minutes of this podcast, but watch it. It's great. Season 3 is the best. I could rant on for more just about episode 7 and 8 as a pair. You know, it's very good. Wow, that was a long podcast. I know it's not long. I know you have podcasts that are like 2 hours, but I did just want to talk fast about the show and why season 3 is the best. But I think season 3 is the one that I've talked the shortest about, and I feel bad about that. But I know that if I go any further, I'll get down a rabbit hole. I'll tell you my conspiracy theories, what I think is going to happen in season 4. But yeah, also, the post-credit scene, I think, is expertly done. The post-credit scene is one of the most intriguing scenes of the whole show. You know, it combines intrigue. You finally get another interdimensional creature. It's one we've already seen before, but it's more intimidating. It looks better this time. It's referenced earlier on in the season, then you get this reveal. You get the intrigue of what's going on in this prison, this underground prison that people are being fed to monsters from the upside down, you know. You want to know more, and it sets up season 4 so great. I can't wait for Stranger Things 4. I don't want to wait until next year, but I have to. Everyone has to. It's going to be great. I know it will. I have faith in Stranger Things. I know that it's going to keep being great. So thank you, and I'll see you in the next podcast. Thank you for watching. I hope to see you next time. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. So, if you did, make sure to follow me. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.